F1 makes me need like an Excedrin and like a bubble bath.
Yeah. I can't figure out if I had a tummy ache today just because I have a tummy ache and that's just like life, or if I have a tummy ache because I knew we had to record about F1 tonight.
Yeah, it's definitely tummy ache vibes. We're still a little grumpy, if that's not obvious. Everything is kind of still a hot mess dumpster fire.
Recording from New York and Los Angeles, your hosts, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein, are lined up on the grid for this week's Grid Walk. Engines are fired up, ready to broadcast to you every Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and more. Subscribe, like the video, turn on auto downloads, and leave a review to provide us with a fresh set of tires. Today, Grid Walk will take pit stops at...
Well, on the show today, we are going to start the show off by giving you the latest updates, but really it's not really the latest updates on what's going on with Christian Horner and his sexual harassment case, and more it's going to be the latest updates on like our emotional state dealing with everything. We hope that will be helpful or therapeutic or interesting for you, but the reality is that we want to vent and we don't feel right doing the show right now without starting the show with this and leading with it. I say it every week that we talk about this, but I will continue to say it in case this is your first episode of Grid Walk. But if this is triggering for you in any way, time codes are always in our description. Use them, skip ahead if you don't want to hear us talk about it. Quite frankly, the rest of the show is made up on all the things that we're actually happy or excited to talk about in some way, or we find interesting enough to make a show about, and 95% of the stuff that's going on in F1 right now makes my tummy hurt, as we said. I don't like it. We don't like it. Is this the weirdest show outline we've ever put together? Probably. But we're going to go straight from our emotional status on F1 and it being safe for women right into our full F1 Academy first race weekend recap, because boy, was it a weird weekend where we were so happy about everything that was going on in the F1 Academy, and boy, did it all feel really hollow with everything else that was going on. But we're going to do podiums for the F1 Academy, we're going to give you our first weekend reactions, and the results of our draft. After that, we're going to do prediction results based on our predictions for the F1 race. Nicole has a gossip grid, so pop culture, off the track, things that don't make us want to rip our hair out. Which is going to be a lot of Lewis Hamilton fashion stuff, so you can look forward to that. And then we're going to wrap up the show with a lame duck segment, because boy was it a rough weekend as Lewis Hamilton fans who are watching him in the team that he is leaving. Quack, quack. Well, and that is, again, the weirdest show outline we've ever done, but this is what we have the bandwidth for this week. So take it away, voiceover man.
It's lights out and away we go on this week's Grid Walk.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this. There's not enough action happening in the right ways, and it's all just being blown out into like all these alternative stories, and nothing about like the actual issue of like sexual harassment. Christian Horner still has a job, apparently. Like, you know, who, she doesn't have a job. I don't know. I'm so tired, and like it somehow is now spun out into like Max Verstappen's driving at Mercedes, which I'm like, this is not the point. What, like, can we like not talk about this stupid narrative over here for a second and like solve the actual issue before like he goes to like, that's not the point.
Right. I have had such an issue with the coverage of this story by F1's media. I ended last week's segment talking about this, literally screaming, have some shame. And it just got worse this week. From the way they're covering Christian Horner's blatant PR attempts to be a family man now, they continue... Like, most of F1's press continues to call him innocent. I just have to remind anyone listening to this that innocent people don't pay employees to go away and be quiet. There would be no payment to the now suspended Red Bull employee of nearly $1 million if he was innocent. If he was innocent, this would have just been like, okay, goodbye. Not here's some hush money. Like, there's a reason it's called hush money. Like, this is, and I am incredibly annoyed that people are now rolling this up into some drama. Like, Red Bull can have whatever civil war petty drama they want, but these two things in my mind are so not connected. And I genuinely don't care if everyone at Red Bull wants to eat themselves alive, as long as they make their workspace safe for women to work in. Women should have the same right to eat each other alive if they want to work at Red Bull and do that. That is totally, like, okay, that was a bad joke. But, like, I'm trying to, like, not sit here and just scream. It's right. Just, I personally could care absolutely less about any of the drama that everyone's taking this Horner story as this linchpin into this Red Bull drama. And it's like, no, this woman was sexually harassed in her workplace and just wanted to be able to do her job. And Red Bull paid her a bunch of money to go away and are now saying that Christian Horner's innocent. And, like, to me, like, until he is removed from his post, like, nothing else matters.
Right. And it's disheartening to, like, see the continued lack of action in that space at all, and just acting like everything else is fine. Like, we still haven't gotten any sort of, like, statements from FOM about it all, which just, you know, still feels like maybe that's cooking and there's, like, some type of action being taken, because we had discussed that, you know, we don't get something from them until, like, it seems more actionable. Usually when we get, like, a statement from FOM, there's a little bit more longevity and, like, thought out plan in those types of statements. Something else that I'm also just really struggling with this week, and it's, I think, one of the other parts of being a fan, and we were talking about how difficult right now it feels to be a female fan in this space. It was incredibly difficult last week to be hearing some of my favorite drivers. I'll just, like, it's bottom line calling out first Danny Ric, like, and some of the quotes to say in this, like, in this whole situation. Yeah. So, like, going into the race weekend, I had, like, a horrible taste in my mouth, and, like, it was just making me, like, I firmly believe that the people that you support, you need to be holding them accountable for, like, their actions, the things that they do, the things that they stand for. And I hope that's very, very clear on this show. So last weekend was a really, really tough weekend when a lot of them, and, like, one of my favorites, blatantly was calling this nonsense, noise, not a distraction, doesn't pertain to me. So it's not important. Doesn't matter. It's all to this. It's like, it's not helping the mission. And it's just so blatantly wrong when, like, half of your fan base is a female, is, like,
yeah. I'm a firm believer in two things. One, as a fan, when you choose to support someone, you are backing them as a person in modern day and age. That's just kind of the world we now live in because of social media, because we know who these people are. So there's a reason that I back Lewis Hamilton, and part of that is because of what he believes in. And I joke with people in my day-to-day life that when they're like, oh, like, you're a Lewis Hamilton fan, is it because he wins all the time? It's like, no, because I think he's the only driver on the grid who actually would want me to be his fan. And that was never more evident than this weekend. So I'm not here to put anyone's choices down or judge anyone, but I will reiterate what Nicole says, which is, when your driver stands up and says, I don't believe that it matters if women are sexually harassed in the workplace, in whatever way they decided to frame that, believe them. For starters, don't make excuses for them. They are all grown men who decided to get up there and say that. They're also all grown men with heavily PR-trained people behind them who could have told them the right thing to say that they chose not to say.
Every driver should have been, like, prepped to be asked about this situation right now.
And they probably were.
Right. That's what's so terrifying.
Right.
Like, if this is prepped, like, oh, right. My God, then it's prepared horribleness.
Right. So, like, believe when you're driving. And I just think, like, so again, like, I have zero judgment for what anyone else does with their time. But I wholeheartedly believe that when a athlete tells me that I don't have value, then maybe I won't provide some monetary value in their pockets. And I think it's well within our rights as fans to also change our minds. And it's been really hard to watch Nicole struggle because I think Daniel Ricciardo has never given any kind of indication that he was like this shitty. And I know that because you told me, so, and we can cut this if you want, but like Nicole just like shoved all her Danny Rick merch like the back of her closet because she doesn't want to look at it because how awful it is it to hear that someone you support is like, nah, whatever. Christian Horner's always been nice to me, and it's like, that's not the point. Like, so it's just, it will always be frustrating that, like, I can name the people in F1 who gave quotes in support of women on like one hand. It's one hand, and that's, so it's very, it's really disheartening. This was the first F1 weekend in a long time where I was just like, maybe I don't watch.
Yo, shout out F1 Juniors, though.
F1 Juniors is the best.
Thank God that carried me this race. I'm not ashamed to be like immediate click because I know that none of the like things that
they're not gonna,
you know,
talk about it.
Yeah. I'm not gonna have to. It's not gonna be brought up once, which is like crazy that. And I probably would have watched F1 Juniors anyway, but that was fully in my thought process of, oh, I'm not going to have to be faced with like things that give me a tummy ache. Right.
And it's not that I don't want it to be talked about. It's that I don't trust the all-male commentary team for F1 TV's broadcast or Sky Sports broadcast, which are the other two options I have, to talk about this in a way that is pro-women. Like, it's so sad that I have zero faith in that.
Yeah.
So it's, I do want to give a quick shout out to Laura Winters, who I think on F1's platform did a great video about International Women's Day. Like, gosh, this was a weird weekend. It was incredibly weird to launch F1 Academy, have International Women's Day, and then have all the men and big names of the paddock going around saying women's safety doesn't matter. But also, happy International Women's Day. Look at all the women who work for us that we don't think deserve to be not sexually harassed. Like, I just, it was so weird. It was like, honestly, the whole thing felt like the weirdest out-of-body experience that just made my tummy hurt. But going back to Laura Winters did a really great video that I think is worth watching. Also, just my strategic marketing brain side is that just a reminder that the FIA, the teams, and F1 are all separate entities. We've heard a lot from different teams. We've heard a lot from the FIA, and we haven't really heard anything from FOM. And I do think it's interesting that FOM allowed Laura Winters to be as pointed in her statement on F1's platform as they were. And you alluded to this earlier in our conversation, Nicole, that like, we haven't really heard anything from FOM or Liberty Media yet. Who knows what's going to be the result of all of this, but for anyone who's not American, America isn't much better, but our press corps does a lot more than what this primarily English press corps is doing right now. And American sponsors will not love this so much. There's a shocking, there's somehow a country worse at this than us. So whoopee. That was a lot of information I just spewed out very fast. But I just, like, in summary, Laura Winters did a great video, and I think it's great that F1 allowed her to be that pointed on their platform, and it gives me a tiny bit of hope that something might be coming down the pipeline. So this is actually our first podium, not just of this race weekend, but this is our first podium of, like, this F1 season. Do you know that?
Whoa! There was just too much to blab about. That's feels wild and exciting. These are some of the best parts of, I mean, we would do them for everything, but favorite parts of race weekends.
Yeah, but we were too grumpy last week to make them about F1, and we were too grumpy this week to make them about F1. So our first race weekend podium of the 2024 season is about the F1 Academy.
And whoop, whoop!
But I have brought three driver performances that were surprising or exciting in some way over the F1 Academy weekend.
In P3,
Leo Block's free practice and quality one performance. So So I was particularly impressed with all the drivers who came in with little to no experience. And Leah Block was one of them. This was really her first time, with the exception of F1 Academy testing, that she was in a single-seater car. So while she has a lot of race car experience, it's in rally, which is a completely different discipline. And she was able to step into this F1 Academy car. She was the third fastest in free practice. And then for her quali one time, put her in P7. So up in the points, which to me, complete rookie, was very impressive. Now in the races themselves, she got unlucky. She had some rookie mistakes that were inevitable. But I think if we think about this as a feeder series and we're trying to see people who have sparks of performance that could mean they're really fast, to me, she proved, oh, just give her some time. She's really fast. She just needs to learn nuances of racing a single-seater, which is completely different than racing a rally car. So I was really impressed with her this weekend.
Yeah, I think especially the lead up into the races, it's giving you that good idea. It's showing that potential. I mean, there's a reason she's in this seat and part of the Williams history in the making. I think it's a good way to describe her right now.
In P2.
Haussmann's qualifying. So this is a similar one. In her second qualifying lap, actually also put her in P7. She just started single-seater racing last year. We, in our driver preview, which by the way, if you haven't watched our F1 Academy season preview, even though it's after the first race, all of that is still relevant. So if you want to learn about all the drivers, learn about the series, how everything works, like, still go check that out. But one of her big things is that she has done very little single-seater racing. And she's also, unlike Leah Block, has done very little car racing in general. Like, she is fresh out of karting. And to show that speed immediately, I was very impressed with her weekend.
Yeah, definitely, like, standout of the weekend for sure. It's great to see that, you know, the talent, a lot of, like, the really young talent that was coming in, like, with not such direct experience is already kind of showing such promise. So it's only going to get better from here. There was, like, just such wonderful, like, racing happening throughout the weekend and, like, standout moments like that. So it's making me very hopeful.
And something you and I spoke a lot about as something we hope for is that by making the F1 teams get involved, we wanted them to actually be going out and finding talent. And it seems like Aston Martin and Williams, at least, did that. They brought in two drivers who don't have a lot of experience, but are clearly fast, at least based on the small sample size we have so far. Like, these drivers are really fast. It seems like they found talent, and they seem like perfect people who should be in the series right now, is what this showed me.
In P1.
Dorian's dominance. Yeah, nothing else could top this podium, and she was someone I think both you and I were incredibly bullish on when we were coming into this. And I was like, oh, she's the one to look out for. There's a reason she was drafted number one in our draft. Like, I was like, yeah, her. Like, she should dominate this series with all the experience she has, and just how well-regarded she is in racing spaces in general. But she put on a show. And I'm going to chuck out her penalty that if her race engineer just told her the race was done, she wouldn't get. Clean sweep. Like, again, feeder series, it's just about showcasing your talent. Like, oh, if she loses it, like, wow. It was not even close in qualifying. She embarrassed the rest of the field. A lot of people, experts were saying that she is someone who really should have went directly to F3. And I think we're all kind of seeing why. And
yep.
You know, if Ollie Berman needs to keep doing the Ferrari races, maybe the Prema can take their F3 driver and put him in F2, and then maybe you take Doreen and have her try out F3. I'd be interested to see what that's like. But it was resounding, incredible performance. Like, surpassed even my already lofty, very high expectations for her.
It was basically at that, like, I mean, you could see all that a lot in practice, but at that double pole was like, whoa, okay, we're, like, really going, this is gonna, we're in for some incredible things to see that, like, with, like, dominance that weekend. Yeah, that unfortunate ending that, you know, could have been a warning, I feel like. But whatever, could have just a lot of other things. But it doesn't change the fact of the dominance that she had in both races, and, like, especially, you know, the last one of fastest lap across the board. It was just like, hi, this is welcome to the dream party, and, like, we're just all here to celebrate. But it was like in the dominance in, like, an exciting way.
If you're an F3 team evaluating for talent, no one is going to look at it and go, oh, Doreen Pinn is the second fastest driver because she's currently second in the standings. They're all going, can we have her? Can we have her now?
Like, right. We'll just make sure to, you know, communicate. That was it. It's over. They're just...
So, like, I completely get, like, penalties, logistics, whatever. Like, I guess it's good for Abby Pauline that she got a win, technically. It might be the only... Wait, was looking, it might be the only one of the season, but... Yeah.
And she had she fought, like, great in that race. Like, Abby was, like, was really able, at least in the second race, to, like, be coming up. And just couldn't catch. She couldn't catch Doreen. Like, it couldn't do it. And so it was, I don't want to say, like, well-deserved win, but, like, it was, she put up a really good race.
Yeah. And I think it's important for everyone to remember that this is a feeder series. So they're all just trying to showcase their talent. So I don't think Doreen getting the penalty makes her look any less like the dominant force that we all saw in the race. And I also think, I don't think Abby winning that race now on a technicality makes Abby look any better or worse or different in my mind. To me, she looked like the second best driver at this track all, like, the entire race weekend. The reason, quite honestly, that she's not on this podium for performances that I was impressed with is because it's her second season. Like, if she didn't come in and dominate in some way, then that's how I feel about all the drivers on their second season. Like, you need to come in and be putting in stellar, incredible performances so you can move up. Because we're rooting for all of them. And that's weird thing about what we're doing.
But again, she's giving a really good performance for an Alpine right now. You know?
Alpine and Mercedes had fantastic weekends, just in the only world I chose to care about this weekend.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Quack, quack. Because I feel like we had the first experience this weekend of, Lewis should have gotten that call into the pits, and Lewis was not the driver who got the call into the pits, and, like, George did perform better in quali, so, like, I guess give it to George. But Lewis put on the most unfortunate masterclass of all time, where he was far outperforming that W15. We're now complaining about the 15. And it didn't matter because he didn't pit under the safety car and there wasn't another safety car to pit under, and yay.
Yeah. It was like the watching of, like, so what, when is he, what are you going to pit? What is this strategy? What window are we heading into? Like, we're going for softs here in the stretch. Like, it quack, 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 quack.
It was smart to split the strategies. Just if you were actually supporting your faster driver. Because, come on. Like, yes, like, George was faster in quali, but we all know that Lewis is faster during the race. In, like,
pace,
You would have called the other driver into the pits. And as soon as it happened, I went, oh, boy.
Quack, quack. Quack. Yeah, quack, quack. It was... The quacking was over at Mercedes this time. But it felt like we were able to, like, see it early on enough that we're like, all right, this is happening, and we're just getting prepared to do it. And it wasn't as, like, painful to watch, I think, also just because, although it would have been great to see, like, with the preferred strategy, what further magic Lewis would have been able to do. Not that I think there would have been, like, much more, but, like, even still seeing what he was able to do with the W15 crap machine, like, it's...
It was really enjoyable to watch him hold off Oscar Piastri. And the entire time he was doing it, I understood that Oscar was on a different strategy and that Lewis was going to have to pit. And it was going to be for, like, quote unquote, nothing. Like, I think he scored 4 points. Like, it doesn't matter. But it was fun and enjoyable to watch. And after a very painful weekend, I did not expect the one enjoyable thing to come as a result of something that was a lame duck negative decision.
Yeah. And I think that was like the every little bit of racing. I'm like, oh, is Oscar going to go for it? No. And like the just a little bit of like back and forth there. So, but yeah, I didn't. In the end, I feel like it was relatively positive lame duck experience when I really felt like a lot of these were just going to be the absolute nightmare, whether it was for like Mercedes or Ferrari. But this one could have been worse.
Could have been weird. I also think some of it is that just the Mercedes car is not fast. So it wasn't like, oh, he would be on a podium. Like, I just think the Ferrari car is so much faster than the Mercedes car and the McLaren car at this point that I don't even think it was like, yeah, he could have scored more points. And my brain in Lewis Hamilton land is if he's not fighting for a podium, like, I just want to like, have a good time.
Why? Yeah. That's it. If we're not winning.
I had a good time.
Yeah. Was hoping to see as much F1 team support for F1 Academy, it being the first race. And just what could you do that's like beyond the bare minimum? So I really wanted this to be a
particularly this weekend, in all weekend. Like, do more than the bare minimum, please.
So I really wanted to do like basically yellow sector note style of like every single team and all of the things that they did to support F1 Academy. And then I was like, I don't want to do that about two teams in particular because it feels ingenuine and wrong and it gives me a tummy ache. So then I went through all the other teams and I was like, some of these just aren't impressing me as much. And now I'm left with half the grid. So,
hey, look, the fact that there's enough to build a podium, like enough teams supported their F1 Academy driver enough that you're willing to put them on a podium, I call it a win. A win's a win.
There's stuff to discuss because some teams did things. I think a lot of them can do more, but you know, there's at least like some support. At least some of them are starting in the right place. So,
a bonus mention because Nicole couldn't pick.
So there are some honorable mentions here. I'm not saying they make the podium, but there were certain things that I really liked that these teams did, but then didn't the things I really didn't like that they did. So starting with Haas is an honorable mention. They started their promo really early last week. They were actually one of the first teams to begin promoting that it was the F1 Academy kickoff week with content with Chloe. They did a lot of fun style content, playing like Would You Rather. They were releasing the like prep for Saudi Arabia quotes with K-Mag and Nico, and they also released Chloe quotes at the exact same time. However, during the race weekend, not much really at all. We got a summary video from Chloe eventually. It took them till Tuesday to post it. So that's, you're not making it on the podium, Haas, because you did a little late. You came out strong, really backed up, and then like feel like you turned it in after the deadline.
To me, that feels like Haas's normal race weekend social media strategy too. So like, I don't know how much of that is them not covering F1 Academy versus covering F1 Academy the same way they cover F1. So you're right, that's not worth a podium, but like,
just maybe their style. So maybe revisit your entire social media strategy.
Yeah, that's the recommendation from this for sure.
A bonus mention because Gridwalk struggles with self-editing.
One more honorable mention here is Williams. I really had higher hopes for Williams here. They did not make my podium. And honestly, I thought they were going to be a front runner because they had Leah on as the first guest on. Williams has like this mini podcast, Team Torque, with Alex and Logan. And they had Leah on as the first guest. Really great episode. Definitely go check it out. James also visited the F1 Academy paddock, but throughout the race weekend itself, they posted Leah like one time. And it was a rough weekend for Williams. It was it was a rough first race for Leah, everything like that. But like, you could have done more in the hype and the prep and the, it was just like you started so strong.
But shout out to James Vowles for being one of the few voices. Remember when I said I can count it on one hand? He is one of the five who continues to say the right thing and do the right thing as it pertains to all the ugliness around the Christian Horner sexual harassment case. So go James Vowles. I will forever support you. But right. Post more about Leah because she had a great weekend. I mean, like, it wasn't like a great weekend, but it was... She had an impressive debut weekend, in my opinion.
And like overall. And the DNF, like, not her fault. Like, it just it, a lot of things, but just and I just expected more from Williams. It just kind of now feels like my, I said this last week in terms of them in the race, and now I'm saying it this week in terms of their support in F1 Academy. But, you know, James went to the paddock, and the Leah on Team Torque, really good episode. All right, now getting into the podium.
In P3.
Alpine. So Alpine did lots of videos with Alpi. Oh my God, now it's going to be her nickname for me. Lots of videos of Abby in a vlog style content. So I feel like you really got to know her with doing these different types of videos. They recorded a video of her doing a lap track on her bike. They included her in the video for International Women's Day. We got to see Bruno. We're talking about Bruno doing a photo op with Susie on the F1 Academy grid. But no crossover content of F1 drivers and Abby, though. So kind of got a little stuck there at P3 Alpine.
Yeah, I really feel like something that is crucial to me is how involved can you get the faces that people care about? So I think it's great that Bruno was there. But I would just across the board would just like, I love that Williams had Leah on the podcast. Like, I think that's such an easy way. Like, to me, it's like, you're filming this thing with the drivers, throw your other drivers. And I don't just mean your F1 Academy drivers. Like, it could be all your development drivers, too. Like, this is a good vehicle.
Alpine's, like, really leaning into supporting their drivers, like, in all of their different series right now and, like, throughout different race weekends.
Well, they're
like,
the only really ones that podium or do anything exciting, so... I would also be leaning into supporting our Academy drivers right now.
Especially because it's not happening in Formula One right now.
In P2.
McLaren. McLaren does marketing really well. That's like, you know, not something that is a surprise to anybody, but, you know, it can be a little bit hit or miss, but all of their hype videos for Bianca rocked. It was some of the highest production I've seen. Then they also found ways to not only just do the, like, she's fast and it's cool and it's a race car, but like find ways to make it like emotional and how she started racing and be sharing that story about her experience as well with her. We got an inside video of Lando going to visit Bianca at the F1 Academy paddock, and you heard their entire discussion. This was like after some sessions of discussing different driving strategies and how they each drive the circuit and where they lift and where they don't. And it was just like really great to be hearing like that discussion just in content. And then we also got to see Zach Brown make his appearance and take a photo with Susie on the F1 Academy grid as well.
Well, shout out Zach Brown, also one of my five people in the F1 space who made positive quotes. Maybe he should talk to his drivers, but that's not what this is about. I was really impressed and continue to be impressed with how McLaren has just worked Bianca into their press junket. Like, McLaren does press better than any other team. They have relationships with a lot of British press outlets. So this week we got... articles on the BBC about Lando, and we also got one with Bianca, and you can tell that it was like working in conjunction with the McLaren team. So I think she notably, while she also has seems to have a fantastic manager and PR group around her, it seems like them working in conjunction with McLaren has been the first real example we've seen of like, hey, we have this media that we're doing, and like, let's make sure that we work our F1 Academy driver into it. So I've been impressed. Yep.
Yeah, spreading it out and like utilizing it really well. They spaced it out well. They just different varying types of content. And they also just like really had her incorporated throughout the race weekend. So it just felt very natural. And it definitely already felt like she was a part of the team, which felt, you know, really important. It definitely seemed like they were up and supporting her. And then I feel like this is like not a surprise at all.
In B1.
Mercedes.
It was no, but it's not surprising, but still good to talk about.
Right, like it just hit every box, and I just like for so many of the obvious reasons besides the Susie Wolf and the Lewis Hamilton of it all, they just did such a great job across the boards on all of their socials. Like, Doreen was front and center, introducing herself, interacting with the drivers, getting a tour of the garage,
Toto visiting the F1 Academy paddock and like having that whole conversation. Lewis attending race two. Lewis went to the race, went to race number two, was there for when, like, at the time during got to, you know, celebrate a podium and everything like that. Like, there was such interaction and actual presence there. And like, you could tell that he wanted to be there. Before all of this happened going into the race weekend, there is an individual video of Lewis wishing luck to all of the drivers on the Mercedes account. It felt very genuine, just wishing them all good luck and like, and just overall success of the series. So you know that he will continue to show up and be there and constantly on his platforms, he was sharing things and posting about different things and, you know, right place, right time. He knows the importance of this. So,
yeah, I will also throw out that George, did more than probably every other driver not named Lewis Hamilton. So I think if he was on any other team right now, we'd really be celebrating what he did as well. Do I think it's a bare minimum? Yes. But I still think it's worth pointing out because we had so few drivers do and say great things this weekend that, you know, George went to the garage, George met with Doreen and posted about it, I believe, as well. So shout out to George for that. He also was one of, again, on my list of five people in F1 who didn't say the wrong thing this weekend. George Russell said as close to the right thing as someone got this week that wasn't named Lewis Hamilton. And then my brain. There was another. There's a fantastic photo of Lewis at the race, watching the race, surrounded by all the women of the Mercedes team. And one, it was so awesome to see how many women work for the Mercedes team in the paddock. And it just goes to show the influence that Lewis has had in like creating a safe and diverse workspace, that like they have that many women working for them now. And then also that like, I always love to see like women supporting other women, and the fact that every single woman, it seems like, who works in the Mercedes team took time out to go watch the race and support just the series in general. Like, to me, I don't know if, like, I'm not saying, I just don't think there's enough women on other teams to go do it, but it feels like this great shot. Like, why do you support Mercedes or why do you support Lewis? Like this shot of Lewis surrounded by all these women supporting the female feeder series was just like probably the only happy moment of the weekend that I really had. The entire race weekend, I was like, that shot just brought me joy.
Yeah, that and Doreen and Lewis hugging after. Like, there was immediate share on my story. I was like, this gives me such unbelievable happiness.
I also know that if Doreen wasn't dominating the series, like, he would be there and celebrating whoever it is. So, yeah. He did last season, too. Like, he's so great. Don't leave us ever. So I don't know what's going to happen with all these.
Panic. So all these teams, you can do better and more and maybe make it onto my podium next time if you impress me. Again, if I didn't mention a team, it's not that they didn't do things. They either are on my shit list right now or didn't do enough to impress me as much as the other teams did. That's that. Thanks for coming to my podium.
Hey, podcast listeners, Gossip Grid here, your guide to F1's paddock elites.
Welcome back to Gossip Grid, everything you need to know about F1 and pop culture. And because that makes me happy and doesn't give me a tummy ache, so obviously we have Gossip Grid on the show this week. Starting with what I'm just going to start every Gossip Grid with until the end of time, until there aren't any more. Paddock fits, baby. My weekly ode of gratitude and thank you to Amazing Lou on Instagram, just getting me all the information that I need to share this in Gossip Grid. This is also where I apologize in advance because I always get very nervous of trying to say all of these designer names and I will definitely say them wrong. So if I say them wrong, just be kind to me and let me know if you do know how to say some of these. Perfect segue into free practice day of Lewis Hamilton fashion show runway in the paddock. He had this stunning Sakai cardigan, Rick Owens trousers and boots, and one of my favorite pieces that he wears constantly that's a staple is the Polite World pearl necklace with all the different colored pearls he wears all the time, and it really completes all the outfits. Also really, you know, contributes to Lewis's baby girl energy. On quality day, he had this Namachico entire denim fit, Stephen Webster jewelry, and Bottega loafers. But the moment of the entire weekend, the Gucci fit on race day. Holy moly! Thank you for not closing any of that vest, Lewis Hamilton. Happy International Women's Day to us and anyone else who celebrates. This Gucci fit is a gift. He's wearing this pink sapphire tennis like necklace, all of it. Five stars, can't do anything wrong. Thank you, Lewis, for contributing to the cause. In terms of other paddock fits, the only thing I really got to tell you that Charles on race day wore heart patchwork jeans. They were so cute. And, not wearing Ferrari, wore a little bit more of a casual outfit, but like heart jeans. Very baby girl energy, Charles. Okay, so I did my own sourcing for this outfit because I was curious of like when drivers don't wear their team kits, I'm like, whoa, what are you wearing? Esty Bestie showed up to media day in an outfit that looked like he was like coming from vacation. And I was like, let me just reverse Google search this pic of a shirt that definitely looks like you ordered online and it just came out of the box because it was definitely not ironed. I'm 98% sure Esty Bestie was wearing Abercrombie & Fitch on media day. I have the images. I will put them up on the screen. Esty Bestie, he's just like us and wears Abercrombie & Fitch, and also to the point where he just whips it out of the package and then puts it on with it completely wrinkled.
Teaser for future Alpine Abercrombie merch? Are they joining McLaren and Williams? Maybe?
Maybe. It would be very interesting. Or Esty Bestie got this shirt on clearance on ASOS, because it was also on clearance on ASOS.
You know what? I want more drivers to wear just like clothes we can all afford. Like, it's my favorite thing when celebrities wear like affordable clothing, because it's like, oh, I could source that outfit. You're telling me that basic t-shirt is not $600? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I literally was like, this button up looks like it could cost $900, and then reverse Google search Abercrombie & Fitch, and that's the same shirt. Definitely the same shirt. So, yep. Thanks, Esty Bestie. I guess I can borrow clothes from your closet sometime. Alicia Keys was in the Mercedes garage during Quali. She was also one of the weekend performers, along with Pharrell Williams, who actually cut his performance short when fans wouldn't stop throwing their light-up bracelets on the stage. How about we just, like, don't throw things on the stage at people while they're performing? It's really unsafe and, like, just kind of a jerk move. Martin Garrix was also at the race this weekend supporting Lando, because Lando's friends with every single DJ in the world. Lando also announced that he is a partner of PlayStation. I think that's a really cool partner. Kind of excited to see where they go with that. Maybe some fun activations. Mercedes and Ritz-Carlton are celebrating their partnership with 7 specially designed posters for 7 different cities with races, and all of the proceeds go to charity. They're all really sick designs, originally all hand-painted. Definitely go check them out. Steak did another comic book cover for Jetta. I'm really hoping they do this for every single race weekend, because at the end it would look really cool having them all together, but look like really sick comic book art. F1 Academy partnered with 2 female artists this weekend. Danya Boyom, names are really going to get me today. Danya Boyom designed the pattern on the circuit corners of the track, and DJ Megan Fernandez played a set in the F1 Academy suite. And wrapping up this Gossip Grid with one last little bit of style news, Zhou is on the newest cover of the Wall Street Journal China for their style category. And again, I don't understand how he's also a model and a race car driver. So these are some things that definitely didn't give me a tummy ache in the world of F1 and everything related to pop culture. So we'll catch you next time and whatever Lewis is wearing.
Results of our F1 Academy draft. As a reminder, I'm going to put who we picked up on the screen again. So again, we drafted in order. And the answer is Nicole Katz absolutely demolished me and my drivers this week. Oh my goodness. Now, if Doreen Pinn got all of her points, this would be a slightly different story. But after round one, Nicole has 100 points and I have 54.
Wow, I really, honestly, I think I just didn't want to check the math because I knew you had Doreen, and I was just like, the whole weekend, I was like, that's it. It's cool. It's chill. Whoa!
I had two drivers that didn't even score. One driver that scored 4 points. Your lowest scoring drivers had 4 points and 7 points, and then everything else was in the double digits. But you ended up with Abby Poling, who's now leading the championship, and Maya Wong, and she is third in the championship. So essentially, she's second in the championship because Doreen went down that far. So really what it came down to is that you got two of the three podium finishers.
I got the boost.
And you got the boost of the extra 15 points. But overall, just all of your drivers at least were on the board. So
hey, I had to take an ice bath. So I feel like if I'm going to get my win over here, this is pretty great, pretty sick. You know, it's exciting. Yeah. Like, you know, I had good faith in Abby pulling through for points for me. And Maya is also a fun one to see as, you know. One of the like younger drivers. I mean, everyone's young on the grid. Not that anyone's old, but yeah, that's a fun one to have. Getting me points is cool.
Yeah, I think now we're going into race weekend 2 with much more data. So we'll see. We'll see if I can catch up. Why don't other hockey players get to customize their helmets and only the goalies? Because the goalie helmets are so cool. And I think it's unfair that everyone else just needs to wear basic helmets.
I think the basic helmets like break so frequently.
Oh, I guess that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, but I don't like that answer because I agree with you.
They should at least be able to put stickers on it.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. We're really not talking a lot about the F1 race this week because F1 still makes us grumpy and we really just wanted to talk about F1 Academy. But we did make some predictions. And Nicole did pick a driver who didn't race to be P3. So we chatted beforehand, and if Ollie ended up P3,
Ollie somehow ended up on the podium, can I still get the points?
Yeah. And I was like, sure. And I did say yes. Yeah. No, that would have been incredible.
Which would have been crazy. That would have felt like a win if that happened for me. I think Carlos was like, Nicole predicted me on the podium. Guess I gotta get my appendix out. Sounds like a good time to recreate that picture that my dad also did. You know,
We both were right that Max was on pole. We were both right that Perez was P2. We were both right that Ferrari was the team not named Red Bull to score the most points. And I was right that Charles was on the podium. But I honestly felt so dissatisfied about it because my whole rationale was that I thought that Charles was going to be better than Carlos this week. And it was like, congratulations, Charles, you're better. But he was so in no man's land because it's like the Red Bull is so much faster than everyone. And then the Ferrari is so much faster than everyone else, but is not close enough to the Red Bull. That the fact that like Ollie put in a great race, but also it was a great race, not to the maximum of the car, which makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. Like, how could you expect that? So like poor Charles, I think just like drove around silently by himself. And I felt watching it, I was like, man, this is boring for me too.
Like, yeah, I, it's like him and Max in like a similar, like it's like same font but like different like boldness. Like it was like, okay, we're just gonna like be doing this, and this is kind of how it is. It's I really would have loved to see this like be, you know, the Carlos and Charles, like what could have happened there. But incredible performance by Ollie would have definitely makes me excited for like the younger talent come out.
Yeah. And neither of our P10 predictions were worth talking about because both of them had awful weekends.
Lance didn't finish. Yeah, Nicole predicted me. I'm not gonna finish. Not gonna even do the thing, even though I'm starting in P10. That would be super sick just to stay exactly where I am.
And there's no race this upcoming week, but we both have discussed for the Australian GP to switch up a little bit what we're picking, because the whole point of like not picking P1 is because it's boring. So TBD what we're actually going to pick, but we're going to switch it up for the Australian GP going forward. So they're a little more entertaining, and because no one wants to hear us say Max, Checo, Charles.
And a Ferrari, like,
and
woo!
And of course, like, upgrades are going to start coming, and like this running order isn't going to be the same for the entire season or anything like that. But our goal is to have entertaining predictions, not say the same thing every week. So, but I'm now ahead by 2 points.
Damn appendix.
It's the final lap hitting every F1 garage. Get ready for this week's yellow sector notes.
This is the second week in a row where I'm not going to give you an actual Yale Sector Notes. So again, if you're new to GridWalk, Yale Sector Notes is where we run through and give you at least one story from every team on the grid, because we believe there are fascinating stories up and down the grid to talk about. But to be quite frank, and with our level of grumpiness, if we didn't talk about something in this episode, that was purposeful. We don't want to talk about it, or we're too grumpy to care about it. So, I mean, if your team wasn't mentioned, sorry, come back next week when I'm less grumpy and I feel like writing a Yale Sector Note. But, you know, if you want to message us and chat about the fact that CJGJ is back at the Eagles, or Saquon Barkley, or pretty much anything to do with Philly sports, my DMs are open. Please don't yell at me for not doing a Yale Sector Note. I'm sorry. Maybe next week. I'm actually really not that sorry. I'm just grumpy, and I'm glad we got an episode out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of GridWalk. Thank you to our co-creators, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein. Thank you to our four-legged executive producers and me, VoiceOver Man. Don't forget to subscribe, like the video, turn on auto downloads, and leave a review to provide us with a fresh set of tires for the next week's show. You can follow us on social media at GridWalk Show for daily content. We will be back to walk the Formula One grid every Thursday, and we will see you for the post-GridWalk debrief in the comments.
You know, today was a grid episode. We got an episode out.
We did that. We have a podcast. You listen to it. Thanks for doing that. Like and subscribe. Bye.